In the name of Lord Jesus, I commend this morning prayer section. Let's learn something and then we pray. Let's turn to John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus, he is the light to reveal sin, to reveal truth. So from the first section, chapter 8, verse 1 to 11, we can see how Jesus, he revealed everyone's sin. Just like a light shine upon everyone's heart to remind everybody to re-examine your heart. So what is the light of life? Light of life. So the life is in Jesus. Let's turn to chapter 1, verse 4. The light in the beginning, in verse 4, Bible described, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So this life is in Jesus. So, and the light, he said, the life was the light of men. So if our life is vivid, is very, very sure we are alive, then our light is bright. It's an analogy, and it's let us understand how Jesus come into this world to reveal things which we cannot see in darkness. So in Luke chapter 2, chapter 1, you can see, you know, beginning the Simon or the father of John the Baptist, they saw Jesus and or they prophesied about they see the prophecy in the scripture, and when they saw Jesus, they immediately understand, wow, this is the light of the world. So the light give us a chance, a hope to change it. Otherwise, we will continue to in the darkness. Then it's no hope. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Jesus, he said, Matthew chapter 4, 16. Matthew chapter 4, 16. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. You can see Jesus, he came into this world according to the promise of God in the Old Testament. So if we follow this light of life, then our spiritual eyes are opened. And we can have a chance. We know the direction, how to leave sins. And then we walk in the light. And we have a new life. This is a new beginning. So Jesus, his light is very important for everyone. We are no longer live in the darkness. Jesus already showed mercy and grace to us. So in the chapter 8, John chapter 8, the first section, we often cite this event that Jesus, he talked to this woman. And then we are all familiar with the phrase Jesus said, go in peace, right? In chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. Okay, yes, Jesus let her go and command her sin no more. But we have to remember this woman, she doesn't know Jesus. That's why she committed adultery. She sinned against the law, right? But we, as a follower of Jesus, disciple of Jesus, we have no excuse. If we sin against God, then it's a different story from this woman. Don't cite this woman as an excuse. How come Jesus can forgive this woman, but cannot forgive me? But the problem is, what the difference between you and this woman? This woman, she doesn't have Holy Spirit. She doesn't have the Bible, just like we have at hand. At any time, we can read Bible, right? So she committed adultery because must have her own reason or own weakness. Or maybe she was tempted. Whatever. But to us, we have no excuse. We are different from her. Okay? So this woman actually was presented to Jesus. The Pharisees tried to accuse Jesus. But this woman, on the other hand, showed the wisdom of Jesus to us, how Jesus tell all the people about examine their heart. So this is called the light. Right? So from this section, the passage gives us the message. It's very important. How are we going to deal with sins? The sins of others and the sins of ours. Okay? So what can we learn from the passage from verse 1 to 11? It's about ourselves. This is about how to act toward others. If others sin, someone sin, or someone live in sin, in darkness, what is attitude we should have toward the person? And then how Jesus commands us to do. Right? So let's read chapter 8, verse 7. Verse 7. We have a seat, Father, to read. Daniel. Continue. Keep going. Amen. So, you know, the word of Jesus just triggered everybody's reflection about themselves. Who has no sin? No one, right? So we must be aware of ourselves, our own sin. If we acknowledge ourselves as we are no better than others, we have actually also the guilty in our heart. Then we have to If we see someone sin against God, don't blame the person first. Try to re-examine ourselves first. And then we will consider, oh, actually, I have so much sorry to Jesus. We do need his mercy. Right? So, because we have been justified, always remember, we are righteous. We are righteous because of blood of Jesus. So we have been justified through the blood of Jesus, and we are a new being. The old man died, passed away already. We are new. Okay. So but as a righteous in the sight of God, the status, but in reality, in our heart, we still not that good. We are not complete. We are not perfect yet. That's how we are keep pursuing. So re-examine ourselves. This is how this passage shows us. And how about toward others? You can see sinner, are not worthy to cast a stone to others, to the sinner. Just like sinner cannot judge sinners. Right? If the judge also is a criminal, what is the situation behind? So we shall learn from the Lord Jesus to help set someone free from sin. This is the key. So we are not going to condemn others, but if someone is living in sin, then we have this responsibility to set them free, to help. Right? So if you see your friend, your brother or sister in weakness, we try to help instead of condemn or point to their fault and then keep away from them. No. The right attitude is help them to change, to correct themselves. This is the right attitude. Because Jesus, he wanted to change this woman. Oh. Okay? And then Jesus seems freed us from sin already. So we are not condemned. Jesus wants us to change it. So as a sinner, we deserve to have the punishment. This, like this woman supposed to be stoned and then die. But Jesus, he give her a chance. Once she recognized Jesus as this Messiah. How come Jesus is so wise? His word so sharp, make everybody left. Then you can see this woman and Jesus stand in the middle alone, because all other people just left, right? And then only the Savior and the sinner. So every sinner at the end have to present herself alone in front of this judge. So that's why at the end, brother, sister, we have to stand before Jesus alone. We have to present ourselves, all we have, to him. And if he shows us mercy, then we are saved. So we cannot just to leave ourselves, I'm so good. No, we have no goodness at all. Right? So Jesus, he showed us grace and the truth. His word is the life. He wants us to change, to follow this right track. Okay? So this light reveals the sin of everybody. All right, so it's very important we learn the lesson. And What does Jesus expect of us? Right now, we have been justified. We know the truth. We experience His grace, right? So what does Jesus expect of us? Let's turn to chapter 8, verse 31. 31. Sister Juliana. So he too. Amen. Jesus said to those Jews who believe him, "Do you believe Jesus?" Yes. Jesus said to us, "This word, this passage tells, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So, what Jesus expects of us? What? Be his true disciple, right? By abiding in his word. Abiding in his, what does he mean? We live in his word. So the word we heard is not just analogy or we understand. No, we have to live it out, live in the word. Okay? So being a disciple of Jesus is not a matter temporary commitment. No, it's a matter of lifelong commitment, right? We follow Jesus not just when we are young, in this period of time. Yes, we are free, we have more time, and it's a group we can get together. No, as Jesus' disciple, this is a whole lifelong commitment, because it is related to the future, whether it's eternal life or eternal condemnation. It's very important. We have to be wise. Think about the cost and the reward. It's much, much, much worthy to devote our life, follow Jesus, and receive eternal life, everlasting. And he promised it's a joy, it's a peace, it's a true satisfaction. So it's very important. Let's hold on his promise, okay? And then let's continue to verse 32. 32, he said, the truth shall make you free. So consider about truth here. The truth, what is truth? In this society, what is truth? In your school, if your teacher say about truth, what is that? Do they refer to the truth spoken by Jesus? Or they just talk about a truth is some fact. Just is a fact. Relative, right? Relative truth or absolute truth. So what is so-called relative truth? In this society, we are so familiar, we are so, have been bombarded with this, everything is just, it's not absolute, right? So sometimes people will say, okay, what is truth for you may not be truth for me. This is society's view about truth. But to us, no. We know the truth is absolute because it's from Jesus. So what is the truth here? Truth, he said. So what is truth? What do you choose, sister? Just like Pilate, he asked Jesus, what is truth? And what is your understanding about truth? I mean, what is truth? The word of God. Okay. Any Bible verse to prove it? 17. John 17:17. The truth. Please read. Your word is truth. So truth is from God, from the word of Jesus. It's absolute. How about chapter 8? Chapter 8, 38. Chapter 8, 38. Chapter 8, 38. Here he said, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. Jesus, he said, I speak what I have seen with my Father. So what he says is from the Father, right? That's why the word come out from Jesus' truth. It's absolute. 45 to 46 also mention the same thing. 45 to 46, the verse. Okay. So apart from Jesus, it's impossible to obtain the truth. Truth only in Jesus. That's what we believe. This is called absolute. Why? Because Jesus proclaimed, I am the truth. Right? I am the way. I am the life. And this is a biblical concept. Must be our concept too. We have to understand this is a revelation of God to humankind. Whatever belief we receive it. And then the truth will set us free. Free from sin. Free from self-righteousness. Because somehow in this society you can see so many people, they so boast of you know, part of themselves. But actually, no. Under the light of Jesus, we will see how unworthy we are. But we want to get closer to him because he promised to strengthen us, to lead us into salvation, to give us the right path, right life, the new life. Okay? So this is called absolute. And this truth will become our guiding light whole life long. So after RHTS, we go home. We go home, not just return to your old lifestyle. We have to make a change, determination. Live in the truth. The truth set us free. Because, this society gives us so many temptation, so many different ways try to grab us and imprison us. If you are indulging in games, then you become a slave. Right? But if we follow Jesus, we are not a slave. We actually will be freed through his word. His word gives us light, gives us strength. Oh. Okay, so we have to be aware how dangerous of this society. We need to Jesus even more. It's urgent matter. Once we go home, change ourselves, walk little by little, it's actually step by step, we can experience The truth is so sweet. The sweetness will give us, we will feel so happy. Just like when you have cookie, you have something sweet. You feel so, oh, so good in the afternoon when you are tired. Taste it, you feel good, right? So let's come forward and pray. Pray, Jesus, let this light be bright and great and give us warm energy and determination to follow and to sanctify us. Okay, let's come forward and pray.